On Friday, musician Janice Ian will perform at the 10 Pound Fiddle in East Lansing. In 1967, Ian wrote her first hit song. It was called Society's Child, and it was about an interracial relationship. She was 13 years old.
Come to my door, baby. Faces clean and shining black as night. My mother went to answer, you know.
The song was banned by some radio stations, and Ian received hate mail, but it became a national hit after conductor Leonard Bernstein featured it in a TV special. In 1975, Janice Ian won a Grammy Award for her song At 17. Fast forward through dozens of albums and projects to 2013, and Ian wins her second Grammy, this time for a spoken word recording of her autobiography called Society's Child. WKAR's Melissa Benmark caught up with Janice Ian by phone and asked her how this latest Grammy felt.
It's astonishing, especially to win two Grammys 30 years apart. I mean, who would have thought? And especially in that company. I don't think there's many people who can say that they went up against Bill Clinton, Rachel Maddow, the First Lady, and Ellen DeGeneres and actually came out winning. It was cool because Michelle Obama tweeted me her congratulations, which was amazing. And Rachel Maddow sent me the most beautiful flowers, which was likewise amazing. So, and it's great to have the recognition of your peers. You know, that's the stock answer. But for me, I think it means even more because I started when I was only 12 or 13. So I grew up in the industry, much like Sally Field did in hers. And I think it's the same kind of thing. You grow up under that lens, and then you're finally a grown-up. And everybody goes, oh, and we still like you. So it's an amazing thing.
You know, the fact that the Spoken Word Award was for your own autobiography, it wasn't for you reading something of somebody else's.
Well, that would have been fine, too. I mean, that's actually one of the things that I'm doing now is reading other people's books. But, yeah, I think that because it was my autobiography, because it's, as far as we can tell, it was the first book to really try to interweave music and words pretty seamlessly. I sat in the studio with the guitar and I spoke and then sang and spoke and then sang. I think it's much more a storytelling than most of the spoken word books are.
In reading up for this interview, I was just astonished at my impression of your life in music is that you just came out of the gate kicking. You were doing things, you know, you were writing early to start with, as you said, from the age of 12, and recording early, and recording things that no one else in that era was recording.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that was just sheer luck, or dumb luck, depending on how you look at it. I grew up in a very political family. My mom was in the Civil Rights Congress, a participant. My father was certainly active in those areas. I come from a union family, in the old sense of the union, and I grew up... stuffing envelopes with memos for peace marches and stuff like that. So it was pretty natural that I'd be writing about things that had social import. That was what everybody around me was doing and talking about.
I was looking at other people who charted that year, and one thing I was, in 1975, I'm moving ahead now a little bit to At 17, you know, the other people were Helen Reddy and the Carpenters, you know, Karen Carpenter, Tony Tennille, I think, was number one. Not to criticize their work in any way, but this is a whole lot different than a song of the autobiographical truth-telling of At 17.
Well, I don't know that it's women as so much as just across the board. I mean, nobody was really doing that. You had Society's Child, and you had Barry McGuire's Eve of Destruction at that point, and that was kind of it for what was being played on AM radio. I think the more salient point to me is something that Donny Osmond pointed out to me once. He said that there were only five of us making music at that age. It was Brenda Lee, me, Donny, Stevie Wonder, and Michael Jackson, and he said, and of the five, only you and Stevie Wonder were writing, and only you were writing political songs. So, to me, I always saw that as the interesting part, I guess. The women's thing, I was very fortunate in my first producer, Shadow Morton, and my band in the studio, which Artie Butler and Vinnie Bell and people like that because they didn't care. And that's been my experience over and over again, is that really good artists, really great artists, don't care about gender, they don't care about age, they don't care about color or nationality, they just care about the work. I think when it comes to public perception, most of the women were following the traditional paths. Most of those women were also married. Most of those women were either writing with, or in the case of Carol King, or being managed by, in the case of Helen Reddy, their husbands. I was 14, so there was no question of my being married to somebody. So I kind of escaped that whole thing, too.
Another thing that's been mentioned in some of the writing about you is that you escaped some of the bad things that happened to really thoughtful artists in the 60s and 70s. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I was too young. I mean, fortunately for me, I was too young, and I was constantly being shoved out of the room by people like Joplin and Hendrix, and told that I wasn't allowed to stay there while they were doing drugs.
Really? So they looked out for you?
Yeah. I think, in a sense, everybody looked out for me. I was very fortunate.
You've recorded so many albums and been involved in so many projects. You've written science fiction. You've had a performing career for the better part of 50 years. But to a casual observer, they know you from your radio hits. And particularly at 17. And I wonder, does that become an albatross in a way, or is it something that you're glad you've done?
Well, I guess it would depend on the song. I mean, I'm fortunate that at 17, and Society's Child and Jesse are not songs to be embarrassed by.
Right.
So I feel very fortunate that I have those in my catalog. You know, I still get to earn a living. I mean, I started when I was 14, so what's that? 46 years ago.
Right.
That's unbelievable that I can still earn a living doing this.
Right. No, I'm just remembering there's a Joe Walsh story that I think it was about Rocky Mountain Way. He said, if I would have realized I would have had to play this song the rest of my life, I would have written a different song.
Well, that's too bad.
It is.
You know?
It really is.
And that's also kind of a slap in the face. No offense to him, but that's a slap in the face to everybody who loves that song.
Right. Right.
I don't understand. I'm very grateful for every good song I've written.
What are you excited about working on now? What will you be bringing to East Lansing when you're here next week?
I'll be doing old songs and new songs. I'm starting to break in new songs for a next album, hopefully next year. I've got a children's illustrated book called The Tiny Mouse that's coming out in September about a tiny mouse that runs away to sea. And so I'll be breaking in that song as well, because it's going on a CD with the book. I'm going to try and stay home a lot this year, although the Grammy win has kind of torched that.
Whoops.
Here and there.
Yeah.
It's great to be wanted, but it's certainly time-consuming. But my plan is to stay home as much as possible and write.
That was WKAR's Melissa Benmark speaking with Janice Ian, who is coming to East Lansing's 10-Pound Fiddle Coffee House in the next couple of days.